I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you serious?
I'm butchering the door.
What's going on, bruv?
Yo, what's this?
It's a Shure speaker, microphone speaker. It's MV88.
Okay. Very neat, very snazzy.
So we just got it, so I thought I'd test it out before the show. Actually, I've been having a go on it for a little while, but it's just it's like this little handheld microphone.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested, obviously, because I'm just coming from the outside populated urban environment, so I'll be interested to hear how well it comes out.
It's not bad, but I might explain more about it when we get into the studio.
Okay.
So it's this new handheld mic from Shure, and I'll tell you all about it in a second, but what do you think about the look of it, though?
I think it looks very, very neat. I mean, aside from the little disco ball on the end of the bottom of the phone, it's not too big, and yeah, I'm a little bit sceptical. Are we really going to get the quality out of something this small and ditzy?
I recorded some stuff earlier, so wait one second, let's... switch to the studio setup. One sec. You got your cans on?
Yeah.
Right, I suppose, you know what I'll do? I'll probably tell you a bit more about the microphone first, actually, before we hop on. Oh, we didn't do any of our intro music. Hello, how to kill an hour. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you are killing some time with us. My name's Marcus Bronzy.
My name's Funk Butcher.
And this is a show where we like to kill time learning new things, testing out bits of tech, and so on. So yeah, this is the Shure Motive.
Yeah.
Is what they call it, but the MV88.
Yeah.
It's a compact condenser microphone. So a condenser microphone is like a specific type of mic. You see them used a lot for voice work. Condenser microphone. Well, you know that anyway, Funk,
don't
you?
Yeah.
But this is one that connects directly to your iOS device, so it lets you replace your field recorder altogether. So when we go out and about with How to Kill an Hour, we usually have to roll with a recording device that we have to bring batteries for, microphones, leads, and this kind of does away with all of it. Because technically, the iPhone has got enough. We touched on this recently before, haven't we? A few episodes ago, that Kendrick Lamar's producer does use an iPhone and a guitar setup. He's got an amp between it to record content that has ended up on an album. So you can use an iPhone to record it. So we know the iPhone's got the giblets to record high quality audio.
Yeah, I mean, even when you watch kind of news programs, you see a lot of journalists these days actually using the iPhones as recording devices for press conferences and all that. So the recording qualities on the iPhone already are very, very, very decent enough to be kind of using the professional capacity. So if this is enhancing that level,
I mean, like, the phone can do it, but they don't really have the right microphones, do they? Because they've got the little microphones designed for like a little bit of, you know, chatting with your mouth right up against it. So I'll roll through the features of this mic. Like, it's like literally size wise you know, whoopsie, that was me punching the mic a bit, but size wise it's like, I'll take the monk, Funk was taking a mic out the windshield on it, but so size is tiny, man. Yeah, it's like what, the size of half your little finger?
Yeah.
And then it's got a little bit of a base on it as well, which connects into your lightning port on your iPhone. And it's got a little hinge on it. So on the actual microphone, there's a hinge.
Okay.
Which you can use to point the microphone in the right direction. So you could actually leave it on the table.
Nice.
And press record. And it's got five preloaded settings, which are speech, singing, flat, acoustic, instrument, and loud.
Okay.
But what's cool about this microphone is, though, is that it's got three, I'm going to call it three microphones for want of a better set of words, yeah? So it's got a left and a right microphone that can pick up a stereo field,
mm-hmm.
yeah? So, like, as you heard at the start, we were kind of using a flavor of stereo where you could kind of hear things going on around you. That's yeah. why it sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it's got a setting for, which is like a harp, a monocardioid, which would like pick up all of the voice stuff. And it's got mono bi-directional. I mean, I can go through all these settings, but I suppose the best thing would be for me to show you some examples. I've got some examples I can show you, actually. I recorded before the show. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, go on.
Wicked. All right. So this is me just using the stereo width. So it's got this stereo width you can adjust. So literally it just picks up a stereo sound. So this hopefully should sound really 3D. Okay. Real to you. So this is Marcus Bronzi. I've got the stereo width setting on, the compressor's up halfway. I'm on a busy high road at the moment, about to cross the road. Not weird, I'm just testing a new microphone. About to cross the road, walking past a...
What are you thinking of this so far?
Yeah, actually, you can actually people looking at a bit weird. So pick up the actual stereo 3D environment as that car panned from the left to the right of your speakers, or if you're listening to headphones, you can actually hear that car move from the left to the right. So you actually do get that surround sound.
Yes, it's real. You hear the noisy kids as well, slightly on the right hand side.
Yeah,
kids are sure noisy.
Those kids sound like they surrounded you.
So you can adjust the stereo. So this should be slightly less stereo, this setting. So you kind of can have it as 135 degrees, but this should be slightly, so it's still stereo, but slightly less, slightly tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Same again, walking up the same high roads.
Very windy day as well.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there's no more playing going on in this school that I walk past, so you won't hear as many kids. The stereo width is down 60% at the moment, so you get slightly less width on this.
It's nice, even with the wind, it isn't providing that much distortion. It's nice, it's still like a dampening effect. And so
there's a wind filter on it, actually. I've got a setting, I'll see if I can find it. Wait, before we do, should we find a wind? So before that, what have I got now? I've got the mono, this is the mono side. So it uses the left and right speakers that you heard making the 3D sound. Yeah. So those first two settings, I'd use them to just record. And, you know, this is interesting if you want to do your own sort of recording as well, because I know a lot of people want to do podcasting. The first two settings, I think they're great for when you're out and about and you want to get sound that makes you feel like you're in the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you said, it feels very real.
Yeah.
So this next setting is the...
get the ambience.
Get the ambience. So this next setting is the monocardio. So this is if I was like interviewing Arsene Wenger at a football match.
Yeah.
After a football match.
You want to hear the booze.
I know, if you don't want to hear the booze, this is great, because this will just pick up Arsene.
This is the monocardioid as well. So it's definitely designed to pick up voice. If I point it, I'll pick up a bit of...
So hear that when I pointed it at a car?
So this is the monocardioid. Great for sort of shoving in someone's face when you're interviewing them. Pointing in the direction of a sound that you want to get.
The other sounds don't really get in the way, do they?
So literally it's got like a noise limiting effect on the surrounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally just kind of...
For all these recordings as well.
Oops, no, I'll shut myself up. So kind of like...
It's like the audio equivalent of when you focus on a camera.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, that's it. So like, it's like us. You know, if they're in a room full of people and there's someone that you're talking to, you kind of block out the other noise, mm-hmm. but you hear the person that you want to hear. So when I pointed at the car, you kind of heard it.
Yeah.
So that's that setting. And then there's mono bi-directional. So this uses the left and right speakers that I use at the start.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be great if it was myself and you were in a room and I was interviewing you and I didn't have this nice studio that I'm in. We're out and about somewhere. I'd just be using the left and the right side of the speaker to pick up what we're saying. But it shouldn't really sound 3D. It should kind of just sound 3D for stereo. Mm-hmm. It should just sound like normal, if that makes sense. So this is me trying to talk into both of the mics.
Now this is mono bi-directional, so there's a side of the microphone here with the speaker and there's the other side here. I would definitely use this setting if I had an interview. I was on one side, someone was on the other. Even though, as you can hear, I get quieter and louder again. That's me talking into the left and right side. But it doesn't really matter as much which side I'm on, because to you, it shouldn't sound like it's coming out of your left and right speaker. Mm-hmm. It's kind of should sound out like we're both sides of the mic are mono.
So I don't think I explained that very well. But does that make sense though? So like,
to my ear, it sounds like there's no movement. So it does feel like an interview setting where someone is positioned in one particular place. You don't get the kind of movement of the first stereo setting that you...
See, I like it. Fung just gets it. He just gets it. So then this is my favourite setting. This is Raw Midside, yeah? And this is a kind of recording.
What's it called?
Raw Midside. Sounds like something that you do when you're on holiday, innit? What did you do? I just did it Raw Midside.
Midside.
But this is like a setting that I love because it's incorporates all of the 3D-ness, the sort of stereo sound. Sound people are going to be like, stop saying 3D. But yeah. So like all of the stereo sound, but you still get the directional from the hypercardioid. So technically it's using three different inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a combo.
And this is one of my favorite settings. This is the Raw Midside. So it combines the left and right stereo speakers, stereo microphones, the hypercardioid mono microphone. So you kind of get all the goodness of a microphone that can do a wicked interview or get directional sound from, and also you get a good bit of like left and right sound as well, a bit of stereo width that really immerses you in the moment. In fact, I think if we're out doing recording in the field, this is probably the microphone I'm going to use.
You know what I mean? So the voice is slightly more centered, but you get a nice, how do you put it? You get all the stereo sound effects around it. It's kind of tasty. I really like it. And this is it without the wind filter, actually.
Right. So this is with wind reduction on. It's quite a bit of a breeze.
And the wind just falls right out of it.
Yeah.
It's a sort of distracting level of noise you get from wind. This mic also does come with a windshield.
That's the mic-y fluffing that Funk took the mic out of.
A muff, as I like to call it.
So you can hear the car and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll put all of these examples up at howtokillnow.com, by the way. We'll put a link in the show description. I've done a version of this, and if you're sick of my voice, also Molly, producer Molly's done a version where she's interviewing her dog.
Yeah.
She interviews her dog, and you can kind of hear it at different microphone settings. I mean, what are you thinking, Funk, for something that's literally... could go in your pocket. By the way, it comes with a nice little carry pouch as well that you can kind of pop in your pocket.
Depends on the price point. Give me the price point first and I'll tell you what I think.
Well, at the moment, let's do a live Amazon, shall we?
Yeah.
At the moment on Amazon, other good stockists are available. It's showing for £130. £130.
To be fair, considering what you would have to pay for a studio setup, with the which could give you the equivalent quality, that is a bloody bargain.
For all those recording settings, like, just so you know, like, to set up some of these settings, you'd need a different microphone setup. To do this whole mid-side raw, it's doing a mid-side raw is not easy as you think it is. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. The price didn't put me off.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. When we're out on the road, this is in the go bag with us from now on. So thank you to Shaw for that. If you want it back, talk to Bill. No, but this is going to be in the go bag with us now because look at the size of it. It's tiny and it has all those settings. So I could literally be, and it's happened before. I've been on a train and I've seen KSI. I'm like, oh yeah, let's do an interview. If I'm out and about, that has now just taken my interview level up.
Yeah.
Way up.
I mean, things like this, that sure I've done, it really bridges the gap between the professionals and the newbies entering the scene. Like newbies can get that kind of professional quality and the professionals can kind of leave that cumbersome kit at home kind of thing. It's a little bit like when we got those cameras and those phones that could take camera quality movies and pictures from your mobile phone. It just changed the game. Like literally within years you had people making full length films on there. So you're probably going to get into a situation now where with microphone qualities like this you have full recorded albums done on phones.
Why not, and
pretty much minimal EQing done at the studio.
Someone
who makes records, the main important part is just getting good quality audio down, and that lessens the work you have to actually do in the studio. So if you have got a great microphone and an acoustically sound environment, you can get everything down, and you don't need a big studio with a mic stand. You can use a portable handset, and the snobby music producers might laugh and kind of shrug their shoulders and raise their eyebrows. But this is exactly what I was talking about with the software that the iPhone have got. We were talking about recently, the GarageBand software that you can make on the go. We're heading in the direction and stuff like this. With that as well, you've literally got a studio on your iPhone. Trust
me, it's not far from it. I mean, in terms of sound, like in terms of like professional recording, like I said, it's in the bag. I consider myself a professional. This is going in the bag, so I like it. And it's got a whole, you mentioned EQ and stuff. There's a whole heap of settings, like there's compression, there's EQs, there's filters,
I'll tell you
equalizers.
I'll tell you what, I give it, this is ambitious, but I give
you
it,
you throwing down the gauntlet for sure right now. This is for sure, isn't it? Yeah, go on.
This is for sure. I give it, not even just specifically for sure, I'm giving it 18 months, before you have a record, made, mixed and mastered on a portable device like a mobile phone.
Right.
And then literally kind of sent out to the digital aggregate on iTunes. So that means the vocals are recorded via the iPhone, the beat is made on the iPhone, and then that is mixed and engineered. So that's the only software aspect that hasn't been developed yet, a mixed and mastering software. But that will come soon. Which you kind of use your headphones to kind of check the levels, and then that's it, done.
There is a T-Pain app on the iPhone, so he might use it for auto-tune. So Funk's thrown down the gauntlet. I mean, remember before, in our old age, back in the day, it used to be an exciting thing where they'd be like, he recorded it in his bedroom. Now everyone's like, well, it's a room's a room, isn't it, really? So now it's going to be like, do you want the number one? You want a number one single made on your phone?
Yeah.
Gonna happen, bro.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
I mean, the same thing happened back in the day in the garage era, where certain not myths, but they were even like urban legends that they kind of fell out through the grapevine, that certain tracks were being made on the PlayStation, and the kind of uproar it generated in the industry, because that was like a cardinal sin, making a track that was played in the clubs of industry standard, but that was made on a computer used specifically or developed specifically for games. It was just like, you don't do those things. So you're kind of going to get that backlash with this iPhone thing, but as time's gone on, the stigma's kind of been removed. I'm excited because what that does is that forces it opens up the market for starters, because it went from producers or sound engineers having to have big studios, which you had to pay like £200 an hour to rent and all that kind of stuff, with thousands of pounds of equipment. Then that got reduced. Then that got opened up to people who literally just had a laptop. And so if you had a laptop, you needed, again, a couple £100. And now we're getting to a place where you just need a phone. And that's literally everyone.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Before we detract from this real quick, I will say, when you do get this, get your hands on it, I'd bring the EQ down on the bottom end of it. So because it's connected to the phone, when you move it around, you do hear a little bit of rumbling.
Yeah.
So I did turn that down.
Take out the bass.
And there's one thing that I got a problem with, and I don't know whether I should have the problem with Apple or with Shure. You can monitor what you're recording at the same time with this.
Okay.
And it even comes with a special lead to extend the jack for your headphones.
That's Apple's fault, man.
But I'm using an iPhone 7 with
exactly. Because so, I said, my phone's not going to have that issue, so.
I've used it on an iPhone 6S and it's fine. So that's the only thing. So sure, I think to counteract Apple, you might have to come out with a version with a jack on it as well, please. Because I'd like to monitor as I record.
Or maybe put the jack on the actual base of.
That's what I meant, Put the jack thing on the device, because we're not getting a jack from Apple.
No,
so give us a MV88 Plus. I will say though, Funk, the microphones we're using here aren't Shure. Shure would be good if we could get some Shure microphones up in here, you know.
Are you sure, bro?
All right, so from a Shure microphone over to a Bluetooth speaker. It's not in the studio with me today, but shout out to Taltronics, who sent me the Bluetooth shower speaker. It's water resistant, portable and a wireless speaker at the same time. Yeah. For about 15 quid on Amazon at the moment. Now, this lets you to take a shower with a full band and sing along to your favorite songs. When I heard about this and heard this is on the way, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Because I love tunes. I love listening to audio. But whenever I go in the bathroom, that's kind of where I have to be like, I know my iPhone's waterproof, but you know what? I'm not taking it in the shower with me.
I have a funny industry story. Not a funny industry story, but an industry story which is relatable to this invention. And it is of a promoter back in the day. I'm talking about like the early days of Area Watford. There was a parade in Area Watford.
What year was it? So the club Area Watford.
Yeah, so the club Area Watford, there was like a strip in West London where it was like a parade of clubs. And there was a famous promoter, not going to name his name, but he was very wealthy to do. He made a lot of money in the area. And in his office, he had, I don't know why, he had a shower in his office. But the shower occupied one of his rooms. But inside the shower, he had a speaker where he could take conference calls within the shower. And that blew my mind, like, over, like, 15 years ago, kind of thing.
Who is this guy, man? Please, can you tell me who this is, man?
He was the head of Mix It Up.
Oh.
Yeah. So the promotion company called Mix It Up, which was very popular.
Come on, you're not going to give the listener a name?
No, I'm not going to give the listener a name.
He had a shower in his office.
Yeah, he had a shower in his office.
So he was, so
but this guy actually had a yellow Lamborghini as well. So
this didn't cost 15 quid back in the day,
no,
did it?
No, it probably did
a lot more.
It's only built into the wall of the shower. So.
So I've got a little funny story with this, is I didn't realize that when you're setting it up, I knew it was a shower, Bluetooth shower speaker.
Yeah.
I knew that you could like receive calls on it, skip forward, put the volume up and down, which I've been doing is cool. Also, I was away on holiday and I stuck it. I was in a kitchen that didn't have speakers in it. I just stuck it on the wall next to the cooker because it's got tiles by it and it's stuck there. So I was using it all over the place. When I was setting it up, I accidentally called someone. It weren't that weird. It was my agent, but it's a bit of a weird conversation to have when you're setting up a speaker. And obviously, I was setting up in the shower. I was in the shower, showering, messing around with it. And I just heard, hello? And I was like, oh.
So what's the sound quality like?
The sound quality is all right.
Do they hear you like you're underneath a waterfall?
That's the only thing, yeah. He was like, you sound, he goes, shh. I said,
is it raining where you are?
He's like, what's going on? Where are you? I said, I'm in the shower. And he was like, why the fuck are you calling me in the shower?
I'm at the base of Niagara Falls.
I was like, Dan, I'm in the shower. He goes, well, I said, it's a long story. He goes, well, do you want to tell me it? So I'm there soaping myself down, having a conversation with my agent. Like, it's all right. I mean, water gets in the speaker.
Yeah.
When water gets in the speaker that you speak into, the microphone you speak into, the sound quality isn't all that.
Okay.
Because obviously there's water between your voice and the speaker. But
yeah,
it's all right, man. I didn't just use it in the shower. I just kind of used it wherever there was like a wall that I could stick it on holiday. Yeah. So I was like, I was in a kitchen where there's no big speaker. So I just any tiled surface, anything that's kind of windowy, slap it on there. It's simple, man. You get
the bus window.
Yeah, slap it on a bus window. Slap it on someone else's car. Get me?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So yeah, man, you get like 6 hours playback. They should call it the spider speaker, man. Yeah. Like Spider-Man. Quick, another killer bit before we get out of here. Not get out of here, before we carry on talking about stuff. I tried out, I don't know if you're like this now. Mm. I've got to a point now where next to my bed 10 years ago, I needed a plug for my phone and something for my lamp. Mm-hmm. That was it. Now.
And a laptop charger.
And a laptop charger, yeah. I'm not really a lappy in bed guy.
Okay.
Always make. Are you a lappy in bed guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, fair enough. So maybe that. Now.
When I'm watching my weird Attack on Titans program.
God, I still haven't watched that. Even Molly was like, have you not seen it? I was like, you've seen it. You're innocent. You're watching these weird, these big ass monsters. They're angry because they got no clothes on. That's why they're angry at things in Attack on Titan. But anyway, so I got this. Yeah, so back in the day, I needed three or four plugs.
Mm-hmm.
But now everything I have pretty much runs off USB. All right, so I got my lamp plugged in. That's not USB at the moment, but I got an iPhone charger.
Yeah.
I'm testing another phone at the moment. So that's got a phone charger, yeah. My toothbrush, my electric toothbrush plugs into the USB.
Yeah.
I need another USB charger for my Withings watch.
Yeah.
I need, I find that I need more USB things than necessary.
Have you found that? I don't know if you've been into a new build property recently, but why do they never build new build properties with USB charger ports?
Yeah.
They're still building
with old ones. You got to pay extra for that. I mean, now you can get plugs with one or two USB things in them. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's only one or two. So when Tronsmart said they're sending over the 5-port USB desktop charger charging hub, I was like, hell yes, motherfucker. Send that to me. So what's sick about it is this, what's cool about it is it's actually tiny. It's like the size of, it's smaller than an iPhone 7.
Okay.
So like imagine an iPhone 7, a bit fatter than an iPhone 7, but like shorter than an iPhone 7.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a big hub.
Yeah.
But it's this hub that you plug in to one plug.
Yeah, like a Mars bar basically. Mars bar size?
Mars bar size. Nah, I said iPhone, so get your iPhone.
Yeah.
Cut a third of it off the top.
Yeah.
And then like make your iPhone a couple times thicker.
Okay.
And that's where you're at. It's kind of like a handheld device. Yeah, it's kind of like handheld, but you don't hold your hand. But it's like a little box that has 5 USB hubs on it that you plug into the electricity, and you now have 5 USB ports ready to charge iPhone, iPad, Withings watch, electric toothbrush in my case.
Mm.
Yeah, everything. Camera, you know, Nintendo Switch, even you could. Why can it charge things like a Nintendo Switch and stuff? Because it's got volt IQ, and it's this clever thing that works out how much voltage your device can take. So before you'd like plug in a, have you ever tried to plug in a and charge your iPad with a regular USB, with the regular iPhone charger, not the big fat one? You know, you get the two types of, you get the fat iPhone charger, you get the fat Apple charger and the slim iPhone charger.
Yeah.
If you ever tried to charge an iPad with the slim iPhone charger, the one that's meant for the phone, it takes long.
Okay.
And if you try to charge an iPhone 7 with the fat charger, it's wicked, it's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
This does away with all that sort of thinking. You plug in and it works out how fast your device can charge.
Mm.
So if you plug in your iPhone 7, it will charge at optimum speed.
Mm.
If you plug in your Nintendo Switch, it will charge at optimum speed with the USB-C.
Mm.
I've actually got a phone that I'm testing for how to kill an hour now. Should I say what it is?
Yeah, go on.
Next week? I'll give you the full review next week. I'm on the new BlackBerry keynote.
Okay.
Key One. So I'm on that phone. Yeah, so... Oh. Yeah, so that runs on quick charge as well, which is this another type of quick charge thing. And there's one of the ports on this device which is quick charge. You plug that in,
yeah,
bruv, your phone will charge super duper quick. Like, okay. I think I had it charged up, I plugged in for half an hour, I can't remember where it started, half an hour, and it was like at 80%, bruv. 45 minutes, 80%, ridiculous.
But to be fair, that's like these Withings watches, they charge very quick as well.
Yeah, and then they do last for like 3 weeks at a time. Yeah, how long was it lasting at a time?
My one's still, I'm still on 41%.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't charged it in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I love it, man. I'm just like, I want everything to charge like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, if you want to get a USB hub, Tronsmart, tried it out. I was happy with it, man. If you got that quick charging device and you need it to get charged quick, it can handle your shit as well. Right, onto more of the show, funk. Would you say you're a sneaker freak? I'm not a sneaker freak. I was at one point. Are you a sneaker freak?
I was, but now I'm just I'm showing my age. I just go for comfort now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I want comfortable shoes. Yeah.
If I could, I'd travel from East London up here in sliders.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. I'm just all about comfort now.
100%. I'm worse now. I'm like, if I've got to do, I'll wear the shoes, but I got running shoes. Yeah. From Asics. And if I'm honest, bruv, if I can just wear those, I'll wear them all day long.
Yeah.
They don't look cool. Yeah. I know I look like a PE teacher. Yeah. But when I wear them, I'm just like, comfort first, man. Comfort first. Whereas back in the day, I was the kind of guy, I've got really long, slim feet. My feet are like L's.
You look like a golf club.
Yeah, flat and long. I used to get Timberland boots. I had to stuff like 50 pairs of socks in my Timberland boots to make sure that they didn't shake around and fall off. If I didn't have those 50 pairs of socks stuffed in there, yeah, not just put on, stuffed in over my foot between the laces and my feet, I would have just left my Timberland boots standing there, man. It's ridiculous. But anyway, Apple have got a pair of sneakers.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Or shall I say, Apple had a pair of sneakers,
yeah,
right? So they're going up for auction because it's the Heritage Auction House, right? And they've got Apple computer sneakers that are from the early 1990s up. I'm going to show Funk a picture of them. We're going to put a picture up. If you click the link in the show description, you're going to see them. I'm going to show Funk a picture of them. These are the trainers. Please describe what you're seeing.
What I'm seeing? Should I describe what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
In two words? Reebok Classics. They look like Reebok, which is funny because I don't know if you've seen Kanye West's new trainers that he bought out.
The ones that look like Reebok Classic workouts.
Exactly,
as well.
The new Adidas ones that he bought out. And they look like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone likes Reebok Classics.
Everyone did like Reebok Classic. In fact, Reebok Classic.
It's a safe design.
Yeah. Reebok Classic workouts, yeah, they were the most popular choice of footwear for robbers. At one point, because they were so common.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like...
Working class trainers, yeah.
Yeah, they were. They were the best, man. They were the best.
Labour Party trainers.
The go-to shoe for robbery. Yeah, they look like Reebok workouts. That's what they are, the Reebok workouts. So yeah, these Apple shoes, which are kind of like... They kind of are like Apple, like Reebok workouts, just with Apple on them.
Yeah.
They were part of a uniform that they used to wear in the early 1990s. I have a feeling that in the 90s, no one wanted to wear their Apple t-shirt and trainers. But now, if you were wearing those, you'd be that guy, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you were in like a kind of kooky, geeky, chic rave, you'd smash it, wouldn't you? Everyone would be looking at your trainers. Guess how much these are currently going to go for? Guess how much they're going for at the moment.
Ridiculous, because there's probably only about 50 left in the world or something like that.
Yeah, all in attics.
I don't know. You're talking about between 20 to 40k. I'm thinking.
You know, you are so close, right? Because there's actually two prices being thrown around.
Okay.
Apparently, they're selling for 15 grand. Yeah, dollars at the moment. Yeah, but these prestige ones.
They're the ones without lasers.
These pristine ones are actually, they're saying they could actually go for 30 grand. 30 grand.
Yeah.
For a pair of Apple trainers. So are you considering investing?
No.
Shit, I've not asked you what you've been killing time
probably,
with this
probably have to charge them up as well.
Probably.
Like the iPhone.
They've got these little bubbles on them and I don't know whether they are... Air, like the, you know when they used to have fake air bubbles for comfort, where they're just like hard bits of glass in the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah.
I don't. They look like little air bubbles, or they could be lights. I really want them to be lights, like LA gear. They're the trainers that used to light up when you walked along. I've not asked you how you've been killing time this week, Funk. How rude of me, man.
Yeah, what I've been doing. I've been trying out the new Ultra Street Fighter.
Oh shit!
Oh shit! He said.
Oh shit!
Just exclaimed.
Oh, shit!
Ultra Street Fighter on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, getting hands on with a portable device when I can peel it away from the clutches of my eldest son. he's Zelda-fied. Yeah, still playing Zelda. Still cooking pots of weird food in the game rather than doing the actual main mission.
Is he just enjoying the food cookery?
Yeah, I think he's going to be turned into a chef, which is good for me.
Yeah, it's all right.
Make me a sandwich!
Yeah.
But so Ultra Street Fighter is basically...
sorry, Funk, yeah, to cut in. Can I just say, we'd not mention this on the show, shout out to Nintendo for giving us free network access till 2018.
Yes.
And how much is it going to cost? A year?
Next year it's going to cost £20, but it's free up until the calendar year. Yeah. So £20 for a whole year.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. PlayStation,
yeah.
Microsoft,
yeah.
Take note.
And all the other developers, kind of take note and lower your prices.
Exactly.
So, Ultra Street Fighter, yes, it's a, some would say a reboot of the classic Street Fighter game, Street Fighter 2 game, because we are 30 years since Street Fighter 2. I know, I feel old, man.
Old.
Yeah, because I remember when you used to go to the fish and chip shops in this country, mm-hmm. and there used to be an arcade machine, like the big cabinet,
mm-hmm.
and whilst you're ordering your fish and chips, which at the time were about 50p kind of thing, you could play Street Fighter, you know, with the six big buttons and the stick, mm-hmm. kind of thing, and you put your 50p in for a go, and then, literally, you were actually going into fish and chip establishments, not for just for the food, but to play Street Fighter, because that was way before we had the kind of the whole home console system. So it's 30 years since then, and they've done a reboot onto the Nintendo Switch, and it's got all the...
Is it the same again?
It's the same again. They've got new characters. They've got... I'll tell you what the new features they've got. They've got the characters they've got from Street Fighter 2, they've got there, but obviously they've got characters like DJ, T-Hawk, Cammy, which didn't exist in the old Street Fighter 2, because... as I remember correctly, Street Fighter 2's characters, they had, yeah, Ken Ryu, E Honda, Dao Sim,
Guile,
Ken Ryu, Blanca, Chun-Li, Balrog, Zangief, Vega, Sagat, and then obviously your end boss, M. Bison.
If you ever do Mastermind, you need to do Street Fighter 2 trivia.
So I think there's quite a few people out there that know a little bit more than me. I was quite impressive though. Mm. To list, so they're the original characters from the Street Fighter 2, and then they've added I can't remember the name of the title, which added DJ the Jamaican fighter and then T-Hawk the Native American. I think they just got a memo from their American division, say, hey, you need to add a little bit more diversity to your to your fighters, could you please add in a British girl, Cammy, who I think she was part of the Interpol or MI5 MI6 rather, and their DJ, and obviously he had to have dreadlocks.
Didn't he have two doo-doo plats coming out the back of his head?
I don't know. Yeah. But they managed to squeeze him into the animated film as well. Yeah. So they're the new features. They've also improved the graphics. But you know what I find lovely? You can actually change the graphics setting to the retro version. So it looks grainy and...
Really?
Yeah. So they've got that in there. And I guess this is...
because they make it look like crispy.
Yeah. So they make it... it's, like the general setting of it is that it's really sharp, the normal crisp Nintendo Switch graphics, but you can revert it back to the old retro style graphics like you were in that chip shop back in the...
is that how you play it?
In the late 80s. I haven't played on that setting yet.
With some chips.
Yeah. So there's that. Also, they've added in a photo library of kind of like unseen artwork in there as well. And they've got a setting, which is completely new, which isn't available in any other mode, called the Way of the Hadouken. Okay. So this Way of the Hadouken is literally you using the Joy-Cons to literally do the movements of a Hadouken. If anyone doesn't know what a Hadouken is, it's literally the fireballs that Ken, Ryu and Akuma can generate from their hands. There's still a mystery as to where this energy comes from, but... literally, Ryu can summon this blue ball of fire from his hands. Yes, like that. And there's like a first person kind of mode where you can fire these Hadoukens at these M. Bison characters on the Nintendo Switch, which is pretty cool.
So what? How does it work? Wait, you use the Joy-Con control?
Yeah. And then you kind of do the actions of the Hadoukens towards the Nintendo Switch screen.
And if it goes right...
and it will hit the M. Bison character.
What happens if it goes wrong?
I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah, so you've never done it wrong, because so you just got to wear the Hadouken perfectly.
Yeah, because I've just channeled that energy, the mystical energies.
Wow.
So that's kind of like a little touch that they've added in there as part of the 30th anniversary edition.
That's crazy, yeah, man.
But again,
that's the way that Nintendo Switch added their own little flavour to it, though, isn't it?
I think Nintendo are kind of embarking on a console which is friendly for multiplayer audiences, but also is tapping into the whole retro environment. So they've got the new Sonic title coming out soon, Sonic Mania, which has got a lot of the untouched old stages, and they've added a few new things in. Dr. Robotnik and his friends will be back. But also, again, with this Street Fighter Ultra, they didn't really want to kind of develop something new. They didn't want to put Street Fighter 5 on Nintendo Switch. They wanted to kind of give someone the capacity to play something new, tried, tested and loved, and then expand that out so you can play it with your friends. So that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting with the Nintendo Switch, which people seem to be pretty happy with at the moment. There's not anyone screaming for, like, we want explicitly new titles, because I guess the new titles, the power and the capacity that they would need to kind of flesh out the visual dynamics and the gameplay side of things, they would need powerful systems like the PS4 and the Xbox Scorpio, which is now called Xbox One, which released at E3 yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with Final Fantasy that as well. I'm happy with Street Fighter, because obviously I'm a big fan of the franchise. So I feel like they've struck a happy medium. Talking of Nintendo Switch, I was up late last night trying to find some details of E3 and the expo on kind of forthcoming electronic titles, and FIFA, what was previously known as FIFA Switch, is now going to be classed as FIFA 18. So FIFA 18 is coming out. Not sure if it's going to come out at the same time as FIFA 18 on all the other consoles, but it's coming out on Nintendo Switch, so that's great. If you are kind of like a FIFA player, from FIFA, I believe, 17 and this most recent one, they use something called a Frostbite engine.
Okay.
So the Frostbite engine is the reason why the players look so realistic and the animation is just kind of like a lot sharper than previous editions. The new FIFA on the Switch won't be using the Frostbite engine, which is why they've expressed that this is a purpose-built FIFA explicitly for Nintendo Switch.
Right.
And if it's a good thing, and if it's
a bad
thing.
So the gameplay is going to be different then?
The gameplay will be slightly different. I've seen some videos online about the gameplay, and apparently it's kind of like a halfway house between the 17 edition of last year and this new one, which comes out around about September, October times. But it's still going to have on the cover Ronaldo, like the other titles and all that, so it's not going to be completely different in terms of the look of the package and all that kind of stuff, but gameplay wise it won't use the same engine that is currently being enjoyed on the PS4 titles and the Xbox titles.
I'm really interested to see what that's like.
720 on the handset, okay. 1080 when you dock it and play it through your...
So you can get 1080 on the dock now?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you couldn't. Oh, wicked.
Yeah, so 1080 on the dock, they've confirmed that. And yeah, so I'm really excited about the title later on in the year. And again, it just expands the strength of Nintendo Switch, which is that kind of that pick up and play with your mates kind of thing. They needed that title.
Yeah, interesting. And the Xbox One X will be an interesting console to see as well. We need to do the full E3 update once everything's kind of wrapped up over there, won't we? So we'll give that to you next week.
Here, I just hope that they show a little bit more of the Final Fantasy VII remake. Apparently, they haven't put anything out new since 2015. Might be some delays.
It's a big title, though, the last Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Is that 2015 that came out?
The Final Fantasy, the news of the Final Fantasy 7
remake. Oh, the news. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so the full, I mean, there's been a few other bits that have popped up about in E3. I know Sony have said it sells for its virtual reality kit. The PSVR is exceeded expectations. They're doing all right. We want this full Pokemon game for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I've kept my eye on it. I've not heard anything about it yet. Have you seen anything?
I haven't seen anything about that.
Yeah. So everyone's saying they want it. Super Mario is going to be delayed.
Yeah. I've heard a little bit of frustration in terms of the new Xbox, in terms of there is no VR for it, which is interesting. I don't know what the industry talk there is about the VR kind of thing. Maybe it might not be as cost effective as what they imagined it to be. Maybe it hasn't taken off in the same capacity. I mean, clearly the technology and the appeal is desirable, but whether or not it's practical enough to kind of take the market by storm, they might just be a little bit ahead of their time in terms of bringing this out. So the Xbox One might be, the Microsoft might be thinking, with the price of this console, adding something as pricey as the VR, we don't want to put our customers out in the street playing Xbox One from a cardboard box. So yeah, they might have had to reevaluate the cost effectiveness of such a expensive peripheral with an already expensive console.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. I want that full update from E3. But we just have to wait for it to drop out there.
Yeah.
To go out there, man. Obviously too late this time. Next year, baby.
Yeah.
Vegas. LA, baby. Cali, baby. Yeah, man. Well, this has been How to Kill an Hour. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
And I've been Funk Butcher.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. We're about to go and kill some time doing something tomorrow, the day after recording this. So we'll probably drop a little bonus this week as well. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yes,
I'm
indeed.
A bit scared because I'm a bit of a wimp, but yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Find out what we're talking about then. Stay blessed.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.